I'm very pleased to welcome to Fremantle Shipping News, Rachel Riggs. Welcome, Rachel.
Good morning, Michael. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Well, it's a great thrill to be talking to you this morning. We should tell our listeners straight away, we're in the fabulous Moores Space in Henry Street in Fremantle, once a warehouse. William Dalgetty Moore hung out here. His uncle, George Fletcher Moore, was one of the first colonists in the state.
Okay.
He was a lawyer from Northern Ireland. But you've got a lovely accent. Whereabouts are you from originally?
Well, I am from Lancashire. My heritage on my mother's side is from Manchester, and I grew up in Blackpool. So I'm quite a northwest woman that's travelled across to the West Australian coast.
Like so many have, like my grandparents who came from York and Devon did. But we're, as I say, in this space, and your exhibition, known as called Between the Devil and the Deep Sea, that's a big capital C, opened last night. You had a gang here, and they will have been admiring. I mean, you just have to talk about it straight off. That tall woman over there who's in lights this morning and would have even been more stunning last night. So who is she? What's she doing there?
Well, that's the Madonna of the Bleached Corals. She's a large, very light puppet that can be used for parading and in rallies and processions. And I made her all out of recycled materials. I have been trained in puppetry and a puppet maker for many years. That's my sort of main background. And worked in the theatre and in television in the UK for many years before I came here. And I just wanted to make something that was really standing out as a symbol, as one of the goddesses of the ocean. She relates to the seas all over the world. Last night, a Brazilian visitor, friend, said, you know, she's like Imen Jar with the Candomblé religion in Brazil. And I have been to Brazil and seen and made an Imen Jar. So it was wonderful they kind of said that relationship, but also all the different traditions of how the waters and the ocean are visualized and symbolized by the female figure. And then, of course, we're connecting to mermaids and sirens.
Well, I can see her being carried up front of a parade, like the Blessing of the Fleet, only you took her down to Point Walter for the big paddle conservation.
That's right, for Paddle for the Planet, Michael, a couple of weeks ago.
She was the perfect person for it.
Yeah, well, she looked stunning, and that was her inauguration. That was her being literally activated by activism and being blessed by the waters. She was in the smoking ceremony, so she was given that beautiful blessing by traditional owners of this land, and that's what kind of brings them to life for me, that there is a very ritualistic side of puppets, and they come from this desire to animate inanimate figures, particularly religious ones.
So a lot of people are brought up in that way, brought up in particularly in the Christian faith, those that didn't in a more Protestant style resist statues and the like. Mm. People were used to figures, and then puppetry comes along, the Punch and Judy shows, all of these things. How did you get into puppetry and everything related and theatre?
Well, like wanting to come to Australia since I was a little girl, literally watching Skippy, that was, you know, I just had such a call to come here. I also had this huge call from very young to make puppets and animate figures, and I used to do things in Blackpool on the promenade with puppet shows and Sooty and Sweep, and I actually ran a festival of puppetry in Blackpool for 10 years, and had lots of big stars come along, like Lady Penelope from Thunderbirds and so on. So I was very much in that world, and I just adore it. I think it comes from my Maltese heritage on my father's side, where my aunties would make dioramas for the church, for the cathedral. So I didn't have any religious upbringing, maybe a Church of England school, but because my parents were Protestant and Catholic, they decided not to baptise us in any particular faith.
Well, that might have been a good ecumenical decision to avoid it altogether. So you come to Australia. It must have been more than just Skippy. How old were you when you got here? And what?
16 years ago. It took me till the age of 40 because I was so ingrained and invested in having a theatre company, a puppet theatre company, making shows and workshops for children and families in the UK, and then kind of reached the glass ceiling of that, if you like. It was really time as well with my children that we came to Australia. So I was married to an Australian, and we made that move.
You made the move, you decided, and why here? Why Perth?
Because he was from West Australia, was from Perth.
Well, you came, and was it everything you thought it would be? More, less?
Well, it was quite a sudden landing, and then realising I wasn't allowed to work for 6 months because I was on a spousal visa. So after being this workaholic and running a company, it was a crash landing. But it also, I started again. But the interesting thing is, Michael, is that I was just finishing my master's in fine art, which is about site and archive. And I studied with the incredible artist Labania Himid. And just as I left and I was finishing the master's and I got my distinction and so on, I discovered that 50 women were sent from where I was in Preston in Lancashire, from the Horrocks' cotton mill to Fremantle.
These are the famous bride ships.
Yes. And this one is one of the most famous, 1863, the ship Tartar, because the 50 women were documented because there was Mrs. Miller, who was the rector's new wife of York, and they were taking residency. So quite unusually, there was this middle-class woman wrote a diary, and I've researched Blue China and the books that have been written about the bride ships, and also the ships list and what's held in the Batty Library. So all those 50 women are honoured in the bride ship votives, which is 50 of.
Now, let's just talk about them. People will see them, they're just around the corner from where we're sitting, aren't they?
Yeah.
And what will they see? What do they see when they look at
them?
Well,
it's in first glance, it looks like a wall of votives. I think because I didn't have this Maltese Catholic upbringing that I could well have had, I have this real interest in Madonnas and votives and the kind of the beautiful symbols that are used in the Catholic Church. And so it looks like a very kind of religious symbols and lots of red, but
it's beautiful dark red. It really glows.
Yes, thank you. Well, but on the other hand, they're also made. It's all made of domestic objects and trimmings, and it's a kind of it's a symbolic representation of the female. But they also look like Madonnas, so you get this kind of juxtaposition between everyday objects looking extraordinary, looking at something else. And that's something I've always been interested in, from the puppetry, everyday things
becoming something else.
And it's our minds as well, because we have this ability to animism, to bring things.
I love the idea that things are simple and beautiful in that sense. As we then look across that wall, you've got these beautifully framed, all the same size, and they're all quite different. What's happening there?
Well, there's about I think there's about 26 collages. So there's a series that's called Sirens and Harpies. And I was working with these beautiful vintage images from the National Geographic of the ocean, and also images, parts of women, body parts and so on, and started to merge them together. And kind of that's what started this analogy between how, we treat the women as second-class citizens in many ways, and also how we treat nature and the ocean, where they are abundant with gifts and to give us, but it's not always received. And because of what's going on our particular coastline here, that analogy kind of became really, really strong with how paradise is in, for me, and hopefully for other people, is in peril. This fantastic place of sunshine and the milk and honey, which is propaganda in the UK for hundreds of years, coming to Australia, you know, coming to the... He's actually in peril.
It's under threat. You've got... Yeah. There's a video show going on the screen over here. What's happening
there? Well, thanks to the Conservation Council of Western Australia. I saw the film about the lost coral, about Scott Reef, and I was really... It's such a beautiful film. Jane Hammond, the director, captured the most beautiful footage.
She's a great filmmaker.
Yeah, and she really is.
The cockatoos and the coral and lots of other things.
Yeah, exactly. And I wasn't going to recreate the ocean or coral or things in that way. So I talked to them about including it in the exhibition. So, you know, my work's quite subtle. It's not dogmatic. And this is the way of, this is the truth behind it. This is what's going on at Scott Reef. And we've also got what's going on at Dondera Waters at Geraldton with the seismic blasting. And then, of course, we've got Oz UK with nuclear waste, wanting to store nuclear waste in Rockingham.
Now, as you walk around, there's so many things to see. Just on our left here, are these collages as well?
Yeah, they're all collages. A lot of people often think they're digital, which is... You know, I don't work digitally.
It's where you stamp your foot.
It's all cut and paste, you know, and it's all that really, when you tear up paper, there's a real tactile thing going on, and you can kind of tear up memories and under subconscious things come through. And you have this lovely, working with paper mache again, this lovely sort of juxtaposition of paper is... very, you know, when you wet it becomes very malleable and it's quite vulnerable, and then when it becomes really strong as it hardens.
It really is. I can remember as a kid playing with it. And what are then we looking at on the plinths across here?
That's a collection of assembled works, and I call all my work femarge because it is very strongly from the female gaze. It's a collection of... They're quite surreal, they're quite dreamlike. They kind of incorporate lots of little found objects and tell stories about coming to Australia, a kind of feeling of, there's one called Arriving, and that sold last night, is all about coming here, and yet the woman is still trapped. She's pinned to the boat, which is made of a wooden shoe. She's pinned to the boat because when the women came in, the 50 women on the ship Tartar, the bride ship, which actually arrived today, 162 years ago. That was a coincidence.
No time ago.
December the 12th, they arrived. They set off in October.
And here we are, the bride ship, with all those women.
162 years ago. So that's really about them, you know, arriving and full of hope for a new life, but they were still detained, which is an analogy which still goes on today. So they were detained in the asylum depot, which was nicknamed Home, until they were satisfactorily delivered to be brides or domestics, maybe tutors, but unlikely because they were... you know, poor working class. And actually, it was only Western Australia that wanted them.
One of the great things, Rach, about being in Fremantle is you get a train going past, you get a fire brigade siren going straight past you.
I know.
Here they come right now.
I know.
We'll
there we go.
We'll let them enjoy the sound at the other end. Don't say, listeners, you don't get it all here on the Shipping News.
It's all happening.
But I have to ask you as well, I think you've answered this question, though. So what is the deeper significance, if you like, of Between the Devil and the Deep Capital C?
Well, it's really just using that phrase, you know, it's between hell and high water, between the devil and the deep sea. We're in this liminal, we're in the seaside, the coast is a liminal space between the ocean and the land. And we love it. We love to be in these spaces. And we, you know, we relax and enjoy this beautiful, beautiful environment that we have. But we need to protect it, you know. It's vulnerable. It's under threat. And really, exploring those feelings, because it's all way too much, as we know. We deal with so much in this, in the human beings, in everything that's happened around us. We know what's going on all over the world, and there is so much happening, and my way of dealing with it, because it can be so overwhelming, is to compartmentalize and make these art pieces.
One that I've been struck with is a piece that's just beyond the lady of the coral, bleached, forgotten her proper name. And there's this wonderful illuminated piece there that looks, it's got a figure in front of it.
Yeah, that's Warden Carol Cardick, The Sea Hath Its Pearls.
And you've done that in collaboration?
Yes, that is in collaboration with Rakita Woolley. Rakita and myself have been creating shadow performances of traditional Noongar family tales, and this is kind of an extension in collaboration where Rakita has, I'm very grateful to her that she's painted a Yorga figure, a figure of an indigenous woman on this land. So, and I've created the scenery in the background. So the picture was originally a print from a neoclassical painting, which is the original is in the Art Gallery of New South Wales, but it's very much a male gaze. It's very much sort of metaphorically referring to the woman as a treasure, the sea has its pearls.
So in the original, yes, sort of Grecian majestic goddess looking woman reaching down towards the sea edge and so on, and to be interpreted the way you put it, have you altered the message?
Yes, I've sort of subverted it and reinterpreted it as the land not being the sovereign land, the of First Nations, and the woman being the significant sort of pearl. She's pearl of the ocean or the treasure, but from the female gaze point of view.
Yes,
as women interpreting it, not as it's a man making a fantasy picture.
No longer a male gaze, a female gaze, and the woman is an act of real part
and
of it all.
And also developed the concept of it with the artist Amanda Bell. So it was a really lovely collaboration. There's a few lovely collaborations. I also have a soundscape with my with Rebecca Riggs-Bennett.
Tell us about the soundscape, because I'd love to be able to use the audio of that.
Yes, yeah, I'd love you to. Well, Rebecca created this soundscape for a piece that we collaborated on for the Fremantle Biennale 2 years ago, which was Signals in 2023. And she created this soundtrack imagining how the sounds and what it would be like to travel over for 3 months to here on the Bride Ship Tartar.
I love how you've taken these things that actually happened and then tried to, I don't know, try to communicate all the feelings and frustrations. Can you imagine being on the Bride Ship and wondering what was going to happen to you as a woman? You're going to be auctioned off like in slave trade
I mean, a lot of these women did have successful lives. Well, I hope they did. I'd love to hear from a descendant. That's my dream. Because the problem is, all these 50 women, their names would have changed pretty quickly because of getting married. So all the names that I have, Mary McCarthy and so on, they would have been married and taken on other names. But yeah, I'm really hoping that I can find out the stories, because reported in the local newspaper, when the ship Tartar docked and everybody arrived, six of the men, the ship crew, wanted to stay because they'd form relationships, and this is very common on the boat. So they pleaded to the Governor General, and three of them were allowed to stay and start new families.
Amazing. Now, what's this right in front of us? It looks like a longboat.
This is my Maltese heritage. So my sort of continuing exploration of our... my Maltese name is Demek, in the family of the fishing village Mesida. So the fishing boats have a very particular eye of protection painted on them, but it's called a luzu, and the eyes protect them. So it's another manifestation of the figurehead protecting the boat, you know, sailing into safe waters.
You've got this tree coming out of it.
And that's my family tree, because when my father and his family emigrated from Malta all over the world after World War II, and I seem to have that imprint that needs to emigrate. There is an imprint, and it's also in my Manchester family on my mother's side, because I did some research when I was in England last year, and my mum didn't know she had three great aunties, and one of them emigrated to Canada.
Rach, it's been really lovely talking to you. Before we finish, just tell our listeners how long it's on. Everyone knows it's here in the Moores Building Arts Space. Fabulous building. Come down, have a coffee or something to eat out in the courtyard. Sit out the front here on Henry Street. Hang around in the West End, but come in here. You're probably going to be here a lot of the time.
I'm going to be here every day till the 21st at 10 o'clock till 3. Tomorrow, Saturday, at 11 a.m., we're having an artist talk, so I'll be able to tell you all the different stories behind the pieces, because there's lots more in here. Every object and every image wants to tell a story. And then we're also having a femage workshop, so you can come and make collage with me and make a piece, and you can take it home for Christmas, or you can incorporate it in the exhibition. I can't thank Pete Volich and Tom and Claire and Hugh and everybody who helped me install from the City of Fremantle. They have been absolutely amazing to work with. It was the best install day I've ever had.
And when does the exhibition close?
21st.
So you've got a little bit of time, but not too much.
10 days, yeah, 10 days. But just before Christmas, you can come in for. There will be a few Christmas surprises as well. There's kind of a bit of an alternative Christmas with the hanging mobile baubles there, and the tree may get decorated.
Well, folks, make sure you get down here, say hello to Rachel. She won't be shy in responding to you. And there's a lot to see. There's a lot to talk about. And there's history behind all of this, as you can hear as well. Rachel, thank you for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you so much. Great.